Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Patrick Zagna, joined by my co-host and Director of Scouting of 24/7 Sports, Andrew Ivins. We've got a special episode for you here today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl and some of the biggest names in it and take a look back on their high school career and maybe how these guys were evaluated coming out of high school. So, Drew, we're going to have to go way back here, but I'm looking forward to this episode. I know you've done somewhat of a deep dive on the Kansas City Chiefs and their roster, but to me, this is always fun. Like, I went back this morning, got to watch a little bit of Patrick Mahomes and his time playing Texas high school football, also a three-sport athlete, a guy that was really dynamic on the gridiron as well. Excuse me, not only the gridiron, but the baseball diamond and the hardwood as well. So a lot of different stories like that. We'll look at some of the biggest names. But Drew, I got to ask you, you feeling a little bit better than yesterday? I know I am. Big week, baby. Big week. Another day to get better.
Yeah, we can leave that one in the – that was like a bad first quarter, right? We come out at halftime and we're re-energized, ready to go. Came out a little flat. That's a good way to put it, right?
Came out a little flat. It happens. It happens. Worcester boys are – listen –
and we knew it.
We knew it coming into it. We knew it was going to be a tough day. It's like the second day of a back-to-back, even though we had an off day before. You know, I mean, it happens sometimes. Well,
that's funny because I went to on Monday night, I went to the Florida Panthers played the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's heated rivalry, right? Both teams had a bunch of time off after the All-Star game. And the Lightning, I turned to someone like 10 minutes in, I'm like, the Lightning just look hungover. Like they're not functioning. It's sloppy. And they ended up going on to lose 7-1. So even you can have an extended break and you could come back and still be flat.
It happens to the best of us, you know, and for us, we're just getting warmed up, you know, middle of the week. This is a bounce back episode for the boys. So we got to get this right. All right. So
bounce back episode. Before we dive into it, I'm cutting you off. You didn't recruit anyone that played in the Super Bowl at any point, did you?
I think, let's see, I was at Alabama 1 year in 2014. What year was Hurts? I don't want to put you on the spot there.
Here, put me on the spot.
No, I have them all pulled up. So he was class of 2016. It was funny. I was at Alabama in 2014, but the majority of our time was spent on – really kind of putting the board together for the 2017 class. So the hate was kind of in the barn at that point. But kind of looking back, I mean, on Hurts's recruitment, in terms of where he was ranked, not only by the services, but, you know, Alabama was what I remember about that recruitment specifically, and we're going to talk about him more in a second, is that Alabama was high on him for quite some time. Was that a two-quarterback class? I felt like it was.
I think so.
There was, if I remember correctly, so we'll do a little bit more research on that. But we're going to start with Patrick Mahomes, right? Where else can you start here? The Super Bowl and a guy that has taken the NFL by storm since he has joined. And, Drew, I'm going to just give you a little bit of background, and then you can kind of talk more about the player and what you think is fascinating about his high school career and where he is now. So Patrick Mahomes, we'll start rated an 87 three-star by 24/7 Sports, number 29 quarterback in the country, and the number 82 player in the state of Texas, the number 499 player nationally. So there it is, a little background on Patrick Mahomes. Played his football at White House High School in the state of Texas. The son of Pat Mahomes, his dad, an MLB veteran of 11 years, had a cup of coffee with the Minnesota Twins, Boston Red Sox, New York Mets, Rangers, Cubs, Pirates as well. And then you read into Patrick Mahomes a little bit, his high school career, three-sport athlete, as we alluded to earlier, a guy that was a decorated athlete, not only on the hardwood, but as a baseball player as well. And Drew, I was kind of reading up on Mahomes earlier, and there was, an article I read that he went toe-to-toe with the eventual number 33 pick in the 2014 MLB draft, and Mahomes threw a 16 strikeout no-hitter. And, you know, it just kind of goes to show, all right, the background. Ends up playing at Texas Tech. He only had a couple other offers outside of Tech. It was Rice and Oklahoma State. He also got drafted in the 37th round of the MLB draft in 2014. A guy that was a pitcher and potentially seen as a right fielder by a lot of MLB organizations. So a decorated athlete. You go back and you look at the tape and you're like, you know, I got the opportunity to do that this morning. Man, raw in terms of the arm, but in terms of the playmaking ability to play off schedule, the Mahomes magic that we've seen, you can see it at that level. And then obviously accentuated under Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech. So, Andrew, I know that's a mouthful, right? But when you look back at the recruitment of Patrick Mahomes, I think for me, it's like when I look at these players and where they were in their development, sometimes I just have a hard time seeing them get, you know, you fast forward almost however many years later, and here you got MVP of the league, already a Super Bowl champion, one of the most decorated athletes in all of the NFL. It's like, man, could we have seen that coming? You know, and that's kind of the way I like to look at it with these guys.
I don't know if we could have saw it coming, but I think when you go back and dig into what Patrick Mahomes was, he's a guy that you kind of could see that he could be something, right? It was like there was definitely a high ceiling, but the floor maybe wasn't all that high. It was interesting. I was reading about just kind of teams constructing NFL rosters, and Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were talking about this. And the thing they brought up with Patrick Mahomes is NFL organizations need to decide, hey, do you want to be like a baseline 500 team, or do you want to be a team that consistently contends for Super Bowls? And sometimes at the quarterback position, that comes down to taking a risk, a guy, or rolling the dice, and pulling the trigger on someone that can get you a little bit more, can do the stuff off script, can improvise when needed, and win games. And I think Patrick Mahomes, when you look back, you saw a little bit of it. I think all that arm strength and the arm angles and the off-plane stuff, I think that all stems from the baseball background. He's actually one of two guys on the Chiefs that were also that were selected by MLB organizations. Blake Bell was also, I think he was a 45th round pick by the Detroit Tigers. So we always talk about multi-sport in our evaluation process, and Mahomes has credited the baseball and basketball in terms of his body control and how he's able to move around in the pocket, his internal timer. So that's notable to me. He actually did appear in a baseball game for the Red Raiders. You know, we continuously talk about Deuce Robinson, who's the only unsigned five-star in the class of 2023. You know, I feel like every time I make an appearance on the College Football Recruiting Show, they're asking me what I think Deuce Robinson's going to do. Is he going to play baseball or football in college? And I think me and you, we discussed it after signing day. Like, we're leaning towards him playing one sport, but I bring that up with Mahomes because Mahomes appeared in one game. I think it was one inning for the Red Raiders, and then was like, I'm just doing football. So that's funny as well. But the big thing I think is when you look at the quarterback evaluation of Mahomes, is he's a guy that wasn't afraid to really take risks. And I think when you're looking at these younger arms, it comes down to finding or identifying players that have a high ceiling, and with that could come a low floor.
I mean, we're talking about a guy like I like to think for us, right? Like neither of us. I mean, Drew, you weren't there. I mean, when Mahomes was coming out, right? And obviously, weren't if you were here, you weren't in a place within the organization that you were going to have any influence on the national rankings. And that's neither here nor there. But you know, you look back, and here's a guy that threw for over 4,600 yards as a senior, 50 passing touchdowns. He ran for a little less than 1,000. And he had 15 touchdowns on the ground, three-sport athlete. His dad played 11 years in the MLB, like we talked about earlier. He's touching 93 on the mound. Right, I'm just thinking back to the guys that you and I have kind of been fascinated by, like a Dylan Raiola, right, who we talk about, multi-sport athlete. Dad played in the NFL for more than 10 years. Touch over 90 miles per hour, right, on the baseball diamond. Those type of guys, I think, stick out a little more like a sore thumb in this process. So,
but you know, hey, Kansas City has another quarterback whose dad was big time in the MLB, Shane Bichel.
There you go. So, you know, it is pretty interesting. And, you know, we're going to talk about five or six more players. And for me, I wanted to look at the commonalities with these guys in the process. And you know, a majority of these guys were overlooked. And Mahomes, you know, you can say they were overlooked by the recruiting services, and that's completely fair. It's also fascinating to me he only had three offers, you know, and at that, you just kind of – it's a little bit of a head-scratcher. You know, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, he ends up going to the right situation in Lubbock. And, you know, the other part about this is, like, I give the Kansas City Chiefs a lot of credit. You know, second quarterback off the board. What was he, 13 and 16 as a starter? 0-6 against ranked teams. It just kind of goes to show, like, you know, you kind of got to zoom out a little bit, take a look at the talent, and kind of say, all right, how does this guy really fit? Because there's a lot there that kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit. But truly, truly a generational talent. And interesting to go back and kind of, you know, take a look under the hood and say, all right, like the engine was here. There are a lot of parts to work with, and obviously Texas Tech, Cliff Kingsbury, and Andy Reid in Kansas City with the Chiefs have totally found a way to just maximize his potential, which has been incredibly enjoyable for us as fans. So, Drew, any last thoughts on Mahomes before we move on to the other Super Bowl appearing quarterback?
Well, yeah, you're right. The Chiefs did trade up for him. Remember, they traded with the Bills to go up to number 10. I remember when they did that. It was a bit, not a head scratcher, but a shocker. I'll never forget watching the draft when that happened years ago, living in my apartment downtown Fort Lauderdale. But that plays into what I'm saying. I mean, sometimes you got to take a little bit of a risk if you want to maximize the most, get the most out of your position. So that's what stands out to me with him and Patrick Mahomes.
The New Orleans Saints had the number 11 pick that draft. I'm wearing a Saints hoodie right now. The Saints and Sean Payton. As Sean Payton has said many times, they were going to turn in the ticket for Patrick Mahomes there. Instead, they got Marshawn Lattimore, an all-pro corner. Nothing wrong with that, but I mean, you just never know, right? One pick or one decision or one indecision can completely change the trajectory of your franchise. All right, Drew, the next guy, Jalen Hurts, born August 7th, 1998. We're getting deep in the weeds here, from Houston, Texas. But you look at Jalen Hurts, man, what a fun one. Channel View High School in Texas, another Texas quarterback and a guy, I guess we can call him a multi-sport athlete. I mean, he was a power lifter in high school.
I love that.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense a little bit, right? But threw for over 2,300 yards as a senior, had 26 touchdown passes. The thing that really stands out when you go back and you watch Hurts at the high school level is just his instincts and his ability as a runner. Over just a shade under 1,400 yards and 25 touchdowns as a senior at Channelview. But man, I mean, that part of his game always was super, super natural. And I feel like he has just developed as a passer since then. And, you know, you look at the background a little bit, squatting 500 pounds as a sophomore. Then you see all these videos of him working out after games at Oklahoma, right after he transferred, and an incredible work ethic. And, you know, for him, I think it's a little bit of a blend of the right situation and the Philadelphia Eagles organization believing in him and his ability and going out there and hiring a coach that believes in who Jalen Hurts is as a football player. And they have been rewarded for that. I mean, what an incredible season. And then the other thing is like, you know, I talked about the ability to like zoom out, right? I think it's in today's society, we get, God, everything is just instantaneous and you have to have a instant reaction to everything. And I think about that. And I think about Jalen Hurts' time at Alabama, you know, 13-1 in 2017. They make a playoff appearance as a four seed. You know, 2018, it's Tua Tagovailoa. And then he comes in and spot duty, leads a comeback in that game. And you think about, all right, today's culture, how easy it is, you know, for guys to say, you know what, hit the eject button and say, hey, I'm going to go find a new situation. Eventually transfers to Oklahoma and makes beautiful music with Lincoln Riley in his final year of eligibility in the 2019 season and shattered Oklahoma's single game yardage record in his debut, previously held by the former number one pick, Baker Mayfield. So you look at that, and the one thing I take away from this is like, okay, he's made of the right DNA, right? He's a winner. Everywhere he's ever been, he's won. And he carries himself the right way. But you look at back at his career, even at Alabama, I think Alabama was wise enough to know that they had something in him. I don't know if they ever expected him to be the guy that he developed into.
Coach's son. I think that's an interesting nugget when you talk about Jalen Hurts, what he did. I also thought this was made me smile, Cooper, because as we have discussed, I think we've brought it up before, all the quarterback testing numbers we've seen recently, right, from those Elite 11 regionals. I went back and I found them, went to the vault for Jalen Hurts, and this would be the spring before his senior season there at Channelview. He was 6'2", 208, 4.85 in the 40-yard dash, 4.3 in the short shuttle with a 30.9-inch vertical jump. I thought the numbers would be a little bit better based on what we've seen of him and his play style. I think what separates Jalen Hurts from others is what's between the ears. You bring up the weightlifting stuff. I don't know. In modern team building and when he was in college, the quarterback movement and the roster movement isn't what it is now. And I know he left to go to Oklahoma, but I always have thought and subscribed to the theory that you see these videos of Jalen Hurts in the squat rack, you know, moving a ton of iron. I think a lot of people inside the facility respect a quarterback that's going to do that, having been around teams and stuff like that. Like, I think that is the X factor for Jalen Hurts. And sure, he can point to his ability to run the football, his ability to make some wow throws. But I think what makes him who he is how his teammates kind of gravitate towards him. So that's what I've always liked about Jalen Hurts.
He just leads with his work.
Right.
I've always loved the way that he's handled himself. And honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, he doesn't get enough credit to me. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, schematically it's a right fit with Nick Sirianni. And yeah, all those things might be true, man. But this was a guy that, like, if I remember correctly, you know, the Eagles took him second round, 53rd overall pick in 2020. And there's a lot of people questioning that pick. Fast forward a couple years, right, and it's a completely different conversation. We're talking about one of the most impactful players in the league and Jalen Hurts. And you know, truly with the ability of what he can do on the ground as well. And like I said, man, I love the way he handles his business. And I think he kind of really, gosh, he encompasses what that team, that organization, and because of what that organization means to that city, what it means to be a Philadelphia Eagle. So credit to the Eagles, man, pulling the trigger on him, because I can tell you this, I had a lot of, I didn't see it with him coming out, you know, like I didn't, just in terms of him being able to make it work at the next level as a passer. And I'll say this, man, like we had a project that we did at the University of Washington. I forget what draft class it was, but it was Rosen, Darnold, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, that class. So I don't remember what specific year that was, but you know, I remember watching Lamar Jackson and just being like, man, what do you do with this guy, right? Is he going to be a consistent enough passer to win at the next level? And what I want to say about that is I have the same thoughts about Jalen Hurts. What you have to do is, like you said it, you have to give a lot of credit to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Baltimore Ravens for putting both of those elite level talents, and maybe they have shortcomings in other areas, in the best position to succeed. And they've done that. I'd love to see that more at the collegiate level. But like, for those guys to go all in and shape a roster around Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson, I think says a lot about those organizations. All right, Drew, any final thoughts on Jalen Hurts?
No, but I think now an interesting case study for us would be to look at some of the arms we have ranked in 2023 or 2024 and be like, hey, who are these guys that have extremely high ceilings that someone's clearly rolling the dice on?
Well, you know, it was fascinating that you bring that up. When we're talking about Hurts here, I kind of brought up like, all right, who is there somebody similar, right? Like in the 23 class that I'm missing, and I'm reaching here. I know I'm reaching. But the guy that I would say, ironically enough, is going to Oklahoma. You know, Jackson Arnold, and you kind of look at the frame a little bit. Not the same type of runner. I think Arnold at the next level is going to be more of, you have to respect it, but you don't have the game plan for it. And you kind of look at the frame. I mean, the way Jackson Arnold plays, he's tough as nails. You know, like, this is not a guy that shies away from contact. And I love his game, playing at a high level in the state of Texas. Mentality-wise, I would say more of, that would be the guy I gravitate to. That's not a slam dunk by any means, but if you were trying to, you know, fit a square peg in a round hole, I think that's where I'd go.
Well, I think just talking about upside, Nico Iamalieva would could be placed in that category as well.
With the Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
For sure. It's going to be funny when the time comes, like 3 to 4 years from now, and people are like doing the deep dive. You know, I'm reading all these scouting reports. What I love about this is like Lance Erline, Charles Davis, Daniel Jeremiah, these guys all do a phenomenal job. But what's really cool is like seeing these guys kind of gloss over the same information that you had 3 or 4 years ago, and kind of seeing their eyes light up about it too. You know, so always fun.
We're going to take a quick break. Keep it locked to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Our next two, should we go to the Kelce brothers or should we go to the other outliers here? Which way you want to go?
It's because I'm going to go the other way. I don't know if any of these guys are really outliers, but.
Well, not outliers. You know what I mean? Outliers in terms of our rundown.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to back Philly special here. And let's go with our guy, Hassan Reddick. And this guy, just reading up on him again, I kind of remember 2017 NFL draft class, man, he just kind of came out of nowhere, you know, from Temple. You look back on his background, you know, originally from Haddon Heights, New Jersey, Lance, I believe that's how we pronunciate it. Unranked, you know, goes to Temple, gets off to a rocky start there. And then Matt Rhule and company come over. And this is a guy that they just had to find a spot for and was really difficult to keep off the field. And you look back and you're like, all right, how do you have a top 15 draft pick unrated? And it really kind of starts with his junior year. I think he missed the majority of his junior year with injury and he missed most of his senior year with injury. So there was a guy that really didn't have a lot of exposure out of high school, ends up going to Temple. Yeah, breaks his femur four games into his junior season and then injured his knee, missed most of his senior season, enrolls at Temple as a walk-on, redshirted his freshman year. They have the coaching change. And then Matt Rhule and defensive back coach Fran Brown at the time, those were the two guys kind of credited with, you know, his revival in his career. And then played eight games as a linebacker, as a redshirt freshman, moved to pass rusher. And then over the next 3 years of his career, he had 16 and a half sacks, 43 tackles for loss, and kind of showed up on the scene and was considered a top 100 pick. And man, showed up to Mobile at the Senior Bowl. And by the time he was done, in parallel with an elite performance at the NFL Scouting Combine, ends up being a top 15 pick. Hey, funny how that works, right? You have a good couple months in postseason events, and all of a sudden your stock shoots up, right? So, you know, going back, kind of reading the scouting report on him, they just said in Mobile that this was a guy that they loved his versatility. You can play him at the second level. You could drop him off ball. He felt comfortable in coverage, and they loved his pass rushing upside. He was a little bit of a tweener, but he could do everything for you.
Love the word tweener. I think the big takeaway here for me is, you know, we get hammered all the time. Oh, there's unranked guys in the Super Bowl. There's these two stars in the Super Bowl. It's like, all right, man, like how was anyone supposed to rank Hassan Reddick? Injured, walk on. Didn't even play edge. He was a running back, safety in high school. It red shirts, doesn't really play much his first couple of years on campus. I think he's just an example of a late bloomer, a guy that had some setbacks, but maintained course. And it's notable some of the names that have come up in this conversation with him. Fran Brown, he's obviously now the defensive backs coach at Georgia. Has won some major recruiting battles here down the stretch. Matt Rhule, you know, I think a lot of Nebraska fans there in Lincton or Trait City, whatever you want to call it, they're like, hey, you know, not super high on some of the takes for the Big Red ever since Matt Rhule showed up. But I think Hassan Reddick is an example of a guy that, you know, can go someplace and be developed. So I think if you're a Nebraska supporter, and that's a reason to remain optimistic about the future.
I think the other thing that, you know, we should hit on, and we haven't talked about with the quarterbacks, but I think it's going to be the theme with the next couple of guys we talk about, is like the position versatility and the projection, right? The more you can do, we always talk about that, the more boxes you can check. And you talk about Hassan Reddick playing running back, right? But that indicator of athleticism there, not only being a guy that plays both ways, but You kind of see it in the versatility in his game on the defensive side of the ball and being able to rush off the edge and then having a skill set that can be developed and ascertained as a guy that's very comfortable in space. So, I mean, that's one I like, you know, we look at it in the beginning of the show, and that's kind of the point that I'm trying to get across. Like, you know, immediately who I think of is like Yanze Pierre. Not as the same player, but more as like the trajectory of the player, right? Like you just, you know, he's got something to him, but you just, you want to see, you want to see a little bit more. And then you see him elite on elite, not only in Mobile at the Alabama and Mississippi All-Star game, but you see him in San Antonio at the All-American Bowl. And by the time you leave, I mean, he's answered every question for you. And you feel comfortable putting a guy like that in the top 32, where before we had him as 91, right? So people always ask, like, how does a guy improve his stock that much within a couple weeks? And which is crazy. You don't see it as much at the NFL level because of the access to information. But a guy like Hassan Reddick is kind of a little bit of an anomaly. And it just goes to show that there's still evidence of that happening at the highest level.
Tweeners are in, man.
Tweeners are in. You just got to know how to utilize them. And I'll say this, right? Reddick got drafted by the Cardinals, right? And then I think ended up with Carolina before he ended up in Philly. And he was under rule at Carolina, correct?
Yeah. That's, I think, the reason why he went there.
And now we've seen this kind of like he's revitalized his career in Philadelphia. I mean, he's been a huge, huge piece for them. And it's so important with those guys, man, like in terms of finding the right fit and finding an organization or a program that's going to put you in the best position to succeed and maximize your potential. And that's obviously what's happened with Hassan Reddick in Philadelphia. All right, Drew, I mean, I'll tell you what, a couple guys from New Jersey here, Lance Glenn, our producer, he's got to be pretty fired up about this. The next one, Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick, the number 200 and I want to say 51st. Pick in the NFL draft this past year, seventh rounder. There's 262 picks in the NFL draft, so that just goes to show every single one of them valuable. Brock Purdy, right, has definitely showcased that. But played his football at Vineland South in New Jersey, played quarterback, running back, defensive back for the Fighting Clan. Guided his team to an 8-2 record as a senior. And this is a guy in Isaiah Pacheco, 24/7 Sports had rated as the number 22 running back in the country, 88 overall in terms of his rating. And all things considered, Drew, I think that was on par, right? Just outside a priority undrafted free agent there. And you go back and you look at Pacheco's senior tape and you're like, man, this guy's a physical north-south runner. Really, really good contact balance and production after contact. But it doesn't fire you up. You know, you keep watching a little bit and you see the top end speed, you see him in space a little bit. The one thing I took away from it, and it's like, you know, I continue to bring this up, but our visit with, you know, Senior Bowl director Jim Nagy and Mobile, the two aspects of the running back position that he feels are the most valuable in the evaluation process are vision and burst. And what I took from Isaiah Pacheco was he was incredibly decisive and he could get north-south in a hurry. And listen, like those are traits that you can win with. And, you know, I think the one thing we keep talking about with Philadelphia and Kansas City is that both of these teams have a vision for their players. And I think that's really important. But, you know, you look at Pacheco a little bit, and I think he kind of fits what they want to do. And he's been a revelation for them this year. I mean, even kind of forcing former first-round draft pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire is kind of an afterthought, right? Jerick McKinnon has become the change of pace back, and it's kind of become Pacheco's show here down the stretch.
Brian Doan, our guy up in the Northeast, he was on the College Football Recruiting Show Tuesday. He talked about Pacheco. The thing with him was you didn't know where he would play not only on Saturdays but also Sundays because he was a high school quarterback coming out of the Garden State. talented kid, two-way player, but you didn't really – it was hard to project where his home was going to be on the offensive side of the ball. Was it going to be as a slot receiver? Was it going to be as running back? Turns out it's running back. And what has my mind churning here and something that I find extremely interesting about this Super Bowl, when you look at it through the lens of a talent evaluator, on Kansas City's offensive two deep, I got to count them up here. But I think it's six or seven different players on the Kansas City offense, skill players, were high school quarterbacks, like prolific high school quarterbacks. Pacheco is one of them. Sky Moore, the rookie wide receiver. Kadarius Toney, he was like 20-3 when he was a starting quarterback there in Alabama. Pacheco, like I said, took snaps under center. Jerick McKinnon was another high school quarterback, played quarterback in a triple option at Georgia Southern. And then all three of the tight ends, Kelce, Noah Gray, Blake Bell, all were high school quarterbacks. And I find that super interesting. I've read some theories out there that Andy Reid likes to do a lot of pre-snap motion and move guys around, very complex schemes. And if you had to have called plays or broke down film at some point in the past, it makes it a little bit easier. But certainly notable there. And with Pacheco, the other thing Brian Doan said is he was a guy that always practiced the hardest. And when he talked to Greg Schiano, who showed up in Piscataway, that's what they thought was what made Pacheco a little bit different and how he's found a role in the league.
That's evident by the way he runs, man. I mean, he is a hammer, you know, and he can deliver a blow. You know what's funny, Drew? You brought that up. That's a really fascinating stat about these guys and their quarterback backgrounds. But I mean, it prompted me to go to our rankings here at the athlete position in 2023. And, you know, I'm looking at, let's take a look at the top 10 names, right? Jelani McDonald at number two, background at quarterback. Cameron Seldon at number three, background at quarterback. Kenyon Sadiq, I might be off here, wildcat package. Micah T is a guy, three-phase player. Not sure if he played a little bit of quarterback. Dalton Brooks, wildcat quarterback. Brandon Hillman, quarterback. Creed Whitmore, quarterback. Vakari Swain, three-phase player. Mikhail Harrison Pilot, quarterback. So what is that, 60%? Just about. I mean, that's pretty crazy, right? And the guy that I keep thinking about here is Brandon Hillman.
I know. That's my guy.
He just keeps popping into my head. I'm like, you know, because there's not a clean projection for him, right? He played quarterback. He tested really well. He's got a ton of production. And you're like, I don't know what this guy's going to be, but I know he's going to be something. You know,
I'll add, I think three of Kansas City's defenders were also high school quarterbacks or took some type of wildcat package thing. Love to see it.
I wonder, I mean, I feel like this is a rhetorical question, but you wonder from like a football intelligence standpoint, how much does that help?
I think it's huge.
You know, even playing defense, just being able to process the game quickly and anticipate. Fascinating stuff. All right, Drew, our next two, the Kelce brothers, right? What a story, man. That's awesome. And I love reading up on these guys. Let's start with Travis Kelce, the younger brother, I believe, right, of the two, between Travis and Jason Kelce, but a guy that played his ball at Cleveland Heights High School in Ohio, football, basketball, baseball. As a senior, Kelce threw for more than 1,500 yards, 21 touchdowns, added another 1,000 on the ground, 10 scores. I mean, it's pretty crazy looking at these guys and their background, multi-sport, not only that, but what they did on the football field as well. Played quarterback and tight end at Cincinnati as well, more of a wildcat quarterback there. But 59 receptions, 875 yards, 10 receiving touchdowns with the Bearcats, was named first team all Big East in 2012 and winner of the College Football Performance Awards tight end of the year. And then 63rd overall pick in the 2013 NFL draft. Drew, you know where my mind's going. You know who we had ranked at number 63 for a while? Lawson Lucky. A lot of those same things, right? And now I think, without a doubt, the best tight end in the NFL, right? Travis Kelce, and what he's done there. But man, to me, the one thing when you think about Travis Kelce is just the versatility. Can do everything and is so sudden, has soft hands, the run after catch ability, and then just the feel for the game at the position, knows how to find the soft spots in the defense. And like, man, if you want to call him this, I mean, what a safety valve for Pat Mahomes, right? Like, hey, when things get a little bit tight, just look for 87.
Yeah. Hey, didn't you say before we hit, you try to find some old footage of him? It was not.
I couldn't find any high school.
Yeah, pre-huddle.
High school tape on him. Pre-huddle. He's born in 1989. So, yeah, I think that's pre-huddle days there.
Yeah. No, I think just the quarterback, that quarterback stuff, you know, that's a common kind of transition going from QB to tight end. And I believe when he started off at Cincinnati, they were giving him a bunch of wildcat looks, and then he ended up getting suspended. But one of the big reasons why he went to play for the Bearcats is because his brother Jason was starting at left guard for them, you know, just kind of following Big Bro there. You know, that's what stands out. It was kind of really like hard to like find old information on Kelce as opposed to some of these other guys.
Yeah. Let's see. 2013 draft, 2008 class, no rating by 24/7 sports, composite rating just under an 80. Yeah, so it was a guy, the highest grade was ESPN. They had him as the number 71 tight end. So there wasn't a lot on him. Fast forward, man. I mean, 6-time All-Pro selection, pretty crazy. He doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon either, but you know, you look at the multi-sport athlete, right? And then you look at the athlete on the field, and combination of his size, being able to do the things that he does, kind of makes him unique. His brother on the other end, another guy, unranked player, you know, out of Ohio. And man, he's just one of those guys I really enjoy watching. But older brother of the two, played running back and linebacker at Cleveland Heights High School, then gets to Cincinnati. He's a fullback, and then transitions to offensive line after redshirting his first year, and then played a lot of his time at Cincinnati at left guard, and then started 12 games at center, and then just kind of, man, the rest is history a little bit. But even with Kelce, like, if you want to call him undersized or any of that, you kind of see like what makes this guy who he is, his ability to get to the second level, get in space, understands leverage, a complete technician. And the guy, you kind of look at his background a little bit as a fullback, and you're like, all right, kind of makes sense, you know, the athlete. But gosh, man, what a heck of a player that he's really developed into at the next level, and what a staple of the Eagles organization.
The one thing that jumped out to me about Jason is like stuff from the scouting combine, which was in 2011, 4.14 in the short shuttle. A lot of skilled players would probably take that time. And then you got a 7.22 in that 3-cone drill. A lot of skilled players would probably take that time as well.
Right. So. He can move, man. The other thing about him, he also appeared in a Super Bowl-themed episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Charlie's Home Alone is the name of the episode. That's how you know that you're beloved in Philly right there, when you're on an episode of Always Sunny. God, what a great show. What a great show. One-year contract. I didn't know he was on a one-year contract. I mean, he's got to be getting close. I mean, this could be it for him, man. They win the Super Bowl, he's out of there. One-year, $14 million deal, which he signed before the season. You know, he also played hockey in high school. I didn't realize that. Travis played basketball. He played a hockey. So if you're looking for the multi-sport athletic evidence, there it is again, right? Big, physical, nimble player at his size. I mean, being able to play hockey like that. All right, Drew, so those were the six we had highlighted. I know you did a little bit of a deep dive on Kansas City. Any other guys that you want to kind of touch on before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I know we're going long in the 2 minute drill. I did see some of these kids or scouted them when they were in high school, and I shouldn't even say kids. I mean, these guys are playing for a Super Bowl. But the one that jumps up to me, George Karloftis, former 24/7 Sports five star, got to tip the cap here to my former boss Barton Simmons, who's now the general manager for Vanderbilt. He was a guy they rolled the dice on, had him inside the 32. And we always talk about multi-sport backgrounds and how unique that is. George was a two-time state champ in the shot put, grew up in Greece. That's where his father was from, was a member of the Greek national water polo team. Just a super unique individual. You know, he's part of that rotation for the Chiefs. Nice little hit for 24/7 Sports there. And he went on to go to Purdue and was selected in the NFL draft. So he was an interesting one to come across and relive that. Another one that had me laughing is Darian Kennard, or the offensive lineman out of Kentucky. I was kind of going through some bios, and Kennard says he's related to Dolly Parton. That was just the random nugget in there. Has nothing to do with scouting, but I was getting quite the laugh out of that.
Is he starting?
I don't – now you put me on the spot. I don't know. He was a big boy, though.
He got drafted this past year, right?
Yeah. Okay. Correct.
He was kind of an interesting eval coming out of Ohio, I believe. I mean, he was a big body that I feel like he had to melt down, but he was a good athlete. And then he just kind of kept that trajectory. What did he get drafted? Fourth round, I think?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. When you look at the Kansas City's offensive line, they have some, like, big, big dudes on there. Like, and obviously, you're going to be much bigger now in the NFL, but a lot of types where it's like, all right, you're going to have to slim these individuals down a little bit.
All right, Drew, before we wrap up here, I would say, like, for us, always like these exercises because they kind of force us to go back in time and say, like, man, like, this guy did all of these things. How did we miss on that? And I know, you know, technically you and I weren't involved with all of these recruitments outside of maybe Isaiah Pacheco, but, you know, what would you take anything away from this? I mean, I know we only kind of dove in on six players, but commonalities between the players, maybe the quarterback position, the multi-sport background, the competitive nature of all these guys. I feel like for me, I'll just get started here. The majority of all of these guys play multiple sports and are really good athletes. And it reminds me that, hey, we're really talking about like a very small percentage of players. To me, it becomes harder and harder to really kind of differentiate these guys in the process because they all do so many things. A lot of these guys are not only multi-sport athletes, but they play three sports, right? You consider track and field, the majority of guys are participating in track and field, and then they have some combination of basketball, baseball, wrestling, whatever it is. It becomes a little bit harder because the accolades are all stacking up. And then you look back and you're like, wow, this guy was like, you know, like Charles Jagasaw, this guy was like 45-0 on the mat as a junior, right? Like and he's got that combination of size and athleticism. I feel like sometimes we just get a little numb to it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, you know, because a lot of the guys that we're kind of banking on and projecting up the board, they're all, the traits are there, right? Like there's no lack of evidence when it comes to that conversation.
I felt like most of the guys I dug in on, I was like, all right, like this makes sense, you know.
For sure.
There's some type of indicator there where you can project towards that.
You know what I wonder, and we might just be able to do this on the spot here, but is there a player that we had ranked in the top 32 this past year that wasn't a multi-sport athlete? And I could probably go through right now. And
I think the one, Vic Burley, I'm assuming he plays basketball, so.
Yeah, I'm going through right now. I mean, all of these guys, Jackson Arnold potentially.
Yeah.
I don't remember that one. But, you know, just something to think about, quarterbacks. I mean, if there is going to be a position, it's quarterback position is definitely going to be a specialty position.
Vic Beardsley, fourth at States in the discus as a sophomore.
So. There you go. All right. I would say that we're probably no more than two or three at most, right?
Yeah.
That did not participate in multiple sports.
Hey, last thing before we wrap this up, college with the most players in the Super Bowl, guess. On active rosters.
On active roster. I'm going to go LSU.
No, LSU has one. Oklahoma has six.
Is it Oklahoma?
Yeah, they have six.
I don't know why I thought that. I mean, I don't know why I thought that.
Louisiana Tech with three. How about that?
Boston Scott. Man, who are the two others?
Darius Sneed.
Mm-hmm.
Producer Lance chiming in. Rutgers has two. How about, all right, conference with the most players on Super Bowl rosters?
Big 12?
No, the SEC with 21. Big 12 with 11.
I mean, you're throwing me for a loop with the Oklahoma stuff. Hey, so
here you go, man. This is your trivia for Super Bowl Sunday, right? You're going to be watching the Waste Management Open with your buddies. I just gave you some ammo right there.
I love that.
For all listeners.
Hey, by the way, who are we taking this weekend? Waste Management Open.
I just saw something that, like, no one outside of the top 20 odds has ever won.
Really?
Yeah, there's never been like a long shot.
Is I got to see if Ricky Fowler is going to be there this weekend. New swing and all. I'm a big Tony Finau guy. Dustin Johnson, I'm working on the bowed lead wrist right now. I'm in the lab, dude. I'm in the lab and nothing seems to be working, but I got to get it right. All right, Drew. Hey, we got a big interview tomorrow, huh?
Big one.
Big guest. Fired up for it. Not going to name any names. You're going to have to wait for that. But, guys, we appreciate you joining the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. And as always, and it would be greatly appreciated, make sure you leave a rating and a review. And guys, we appreciate you listening. Any feedback would be greatly appreciated. And for our director of scouting, Andrew Ivins, our producer, Lance Flynn, I'm Cooper Pythagorean. We will see you tomorrow. Thanks for being here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.